Well, we're going to talk a little bit about fresh air today, and there should be some handouts that you got. I haven't seen them. I don't know what they look like. John made them up. There they are. And that does that have all of the data on it, the one you got there? Yeah, so this would be something that John will explain later, but we'll go ahead and hand it out now if you don't have it. And you'll see a prayer list and some various things like that. And we want to start out, we've done this for years in one way or another, starting out acknowledging the fact that you guys reflect the glory of God, the presence of God on the planet today, and you have been given the stewardship right of this place, and you can invite God into the realm and where you live, and you can ask God to minister in your workplace or your school. In other words, you can change the illustration, the picture we use, you can change the atmosphere. And the atmosphere that we live in now, I'm really glad I have this today. John Dawson told me one time that he got a root beer float. Just saying. Oh, I can't eat ice cream anymore. I don't think there's many shots in this. But I've already had three caffeine, so I preach really fast at five. But anyway, we are in this position to talk about the fact that we can change atmosphere. That's what we're really trying to dial you in with these lists and some various messages. And the way you deal with atmosphere is, you know, the two things we focused on in the past has been prayer and fasting, and we've done that, and we have seen results. This year, we want to remind you of the component of the result of being with the in the presence of God. Usually, should transform us in a way in which some action takes place. It doesn't mean you have to go start an organization or be a big name or something like that, but it means that you are involved with something that shows the hope of Jesus in the places where you touch. Now, it's hard to communicate these points in a real social media generation. Some of you have grown up with social media. How many of you guys have never known a world without social media, predominantly in that back couple rows? You have never known social media. So if you guys with your hands up, your parents deserve an award. I think in some ways because it gives us an interesting perspective on the world. And we tend to see the world when we have social media amongst us or involved in our lives tuned to our likes and dislikes. If you are really interested in something or you belong to a particular political party or viewpoint or theological viewpoint, Facebook and all the social media sites do it, can tune the messages that you get that come to you. And I heard it, I read this in a book the other day that it would be, say you had a newspaper delivered to your front door every week, and you picked up your newspaper and you started to read it. If you went over to your neighbor's house, they would have the same masthead on the top of it, you know, whatever the local newspaper is, Yakima Herald Republic here, but it would be an entirely different newspaper. The articles would be entirely different based on the fact that that person's interests, philosophical beliefs, theological beliefs, political, are all different. And we see this huge breakdown in our society of people, kind of the in-your-face society, of not knowing the things that we're supposed to know when we usually live in community. It used to be if you were a regular reader of the newspaper, everybody read the same news. They may have had a different interpretation of it, but at least we were all exposed to opposing viewpoints and different perspectives and other interests, and it made us, you know, it made us come together more and communicate about it. But now we're really living in a huge environment where we don't come together in any way, shape, or form over the same worldview. It's worse than it was. And when we pray for the community we live in, and as Christians, we have a really great thing here is that we're all have at least one point of view, we hope, that Jesus is Lord, that he gives us hope. None of the other messages that are coming out in social media or even the newspaper are about hope necessarily. They're about marketing. The reason that you're being targeted with all kinds of news and interests that you like in social media or online newspapers and those kinds of things is because someone wants to build a base so they can sell marketing, sell advertising, and sell you something. It's purely built on this system of economics, world economics, to have more. So when we decide we're going to make an impact on that culture and give true hope, we can say, here is something that has never changed. Even the radically different people can agree upon Jesus being Lord and be Jesus being the one who died for our sins, the major tenets of Christianity. And we can agree that there is eternal hope and eternal restoration of the world based on him. There's nothing else like this. This is the kind of environment that we're asked to bring into an environment that has no hope unless you have an enormous amount of resources to protect yourself with, or you have the right viewpoint of the world to defend yourself with, on and on and on. None of those things are hopeful, eternally hopeful. So rather than wander out into our community arguing about who's wrong and right and whose viewpoint of theology is best and on and on and on, we can wander about in our community and walk around being hopeful because we know Jesus. A lot of our parishioners do that same thing right there when I speak, that crying. I mean, it's just full-grown adults and, you know, sometimes I do that, and that's it. So she's okay. I'd rather have her than have some you leave. Keep the baby. So we're going to just look a little bit of scripture here. John's going to give us some details about this, but the big question is, how can you live your life over the next 30 days that displays the hope of Jesus? How can you be a reflector of the hope of Jesus into the lives of people that you're around, people you work with, students you teach, people you go to school with, places you shop, family members, whatever that is? How can you change your life? We're also going to bring in some speakers that are going to explain to us some things about being involved in our community as followers of Jesus and carriers of hope, and so you'll see that. I was really excited yesterday to wake up and walk outside and have the sun out. Was such a different environment and atmosphere. It's an exact demonstration of what I'm talking about. I'd been living with the inversion and not being able to see things and no sunshine. I'm kind of sensitive to that sunshine. I get down and out. And the thing that was also great was that wind. For me, it was like, this is some fresh air blowing in, blowing out this stuff. My sinuses are clearing. I had a hole drilled in my ear because I can't get my this side to clear if I get too much atmosphere problems. And it just was awesome to have that environment. And that's the kind of environment I'm talking about. So many times we don't realize how bad the environment is that we live in. If we can go 30 days with that inversion, have you ever noticed that? Even longer. I was really surprised when I moved here, even coming from Tacoma, that you could go so long without seeing the sun and not being able to breathe. But you can go that way, and the thing that was interesting to me is I adapted to it, even though I was uncomfortable. And I didn't realize that I was kind of sludging around, you know, not being real zippy there. And then the sun would come out the next day, and it was like, I'm Superman. This is awesome. And it began to remind me, after a couple of seasons of having those kinds of experiences, of realizing that so many of us are wandering around just kind of beat down by the world around us. And the only way we get over that is to be exposed to the Son, Jesus. And that's why we say you need to have regular times with Jesus if you want to live on this planet. Following Jesus is a huge thing. It changes your life. And we need to figure out how do we live in this toxic environment by being able to receive the blessing of God, you know, like it says on our wall here, blessed to live. And then how do we release that blessing? How do we keep that blessing moving through us? Because everything in our environment around us, for the most part, a lot of things are just fighting against that. We're kind of living in dented creation. So we need to do some things, not to get salvation, not to get redeemed, but we need to do some things to make sure that we are inviting God into our world, into the world around us that brings his presence in and affects us. Some of you have heard me told this story. David Shibley, a friend of mine who does training for pastors around the world, but he, in one of his sermons one time, he was talking about how the atmosphere and presence of Jesus can change into us, change your life, radically change it. And they were talking about Jesus changing water into wine. And the guy was, that the story's about, was a little bit of a hillbilly. And two theologian guys were arguing about whether Jesus can turn water into wine. And the hillbilly guy says, well, you know what? I grew up and my dad was an alcoholic. And then he came to know Jesus. And I don't know about turning water into wine, but in our lives, he turned beer into furniture. There was a real life transformation. And the man in that story was trying to not drink. He was trying in his own strength to win, but he couldn't. And the atmosphere of Jesus, the presence of Jesus, giving his life to Jesus, made this transformation. Not only affected his environment, but it affected the environment of his kids. So that when his kid was older, this boy in the family, he had a story to tell that his dad quit being a drunk and went to work, and their life got better. They never got rich, but their life got better. A safe home was produced. So what do we need to do? That's what we're going to talk about a little bit today. We need to learn to sit down with Jesus. We maybe need to learn how to fast a little bit. We'll explain to you what that means at some point. We need to remember that it's not about how hard we try and behave spiritually. God is the spiritual one in the room, right? None of us are very spiritual. We need to understand that we're reflectors of God's character and who he is and his grace. We're not manufacturers of it. We're not transmitters of it. We don't really have any power within ourselves to do that. We're empowered by the Holy Spirit. We're gifted by the fruits of the Spirit, all those kinds of things. So what we're doing is basically saying, I'm going to stop, pray, and listen to God. I'm going to point my transmitter antenna, or my reflector antenna, towards the transmitter, which is Jesus, and I'm going to figure out how to get the best reflection of him off of this beat-up, broken dish. You know what I'm saying? You all know radar or television discs. I mean, we've dented ours up pretty good. We've knocked the paint off of it. We've, you know, maybe it doesn't even look round anymore, what it's supposed to look like. But we still have the capacity, because of the one who produces a signal, to reflect the grace of God into a hopeless generation. This is kind of just me talking. I hope, am I rambling too much? But this is what's on my heart. How do we stop and do this? And then let God animate our lives in a way that we walk about the places where we go and show the hope of God or deliberately go someplace to do that. You know, we're already involved with one of the schools, which elementary school. It's just a prime place to reflect the glory of God, and we're going to talk about more opportunities in those kinds of places. 2 Corinthians, I'm not going to read it, but 2 Corinthians talks about the fact that there is an old way to know God, and that required a lot of sacrifices and laws and stuff like that. And then it goes on to say that it didn't work very good. And even Moses, when he was exposed to the presence of God, God had to do some stuff, and it talks about that in the scripture. God had to do some stuff to keep Moses from being killed by just being exposed to his glory. Now we can be reflectors of his glory because of grace. And Moses had, when he was exposed to the glory of God, even though God protected him, and he walked back down to be amongst the people, he had to cover his face because it shone with the glory of God, because it was freaking everybody out and possibly could kill them. So at first, he covered his face up because he didn't want to hurt anybody. Later, he kept his face covered because he didn't want anybody to know that it wasn't working anymore. We tend to do that. Both of those, that end thing can affect how we reflect the glory of God. We cover our lives up because we're afraid people will see we're not worthy really to hang on to the glory of God. It's really in the midst of our regular life, broken people reflecting the glory of God, that shows hope to people because they see us being normal people walking with God, which is impossible without the grace of God. And it gives them the message, hey, maybe I could do this too. And that's kind of what this scripture is about. It goes on to say, if Moses could get some glory on it and reflect it, even in a time when the law was killing people, how much more can we do it? Now that we know Jesus, and special circumstances do not have to be created to reflect the glory of God. How much more can we do that now that Jesus is here? I don't know, infinitely more? But we can. Does that mean, you know, you kind of got to suck yourself, you know, suck it up and pull yourself together and get real spiritual? No. We just have to turn to Jesus. In whatever dent and wound or broken spot or misshapen weirdness about your receiver reflector dish that you have, that you beat up so badly, that you and I have beat up so badly over our lives, whatever that little thing is that's wrong with it, the presence of God can turn that into a manifestation of a gift that gives hope into other people's lives if we're honest about it. Do you get my point? Somebody shake their head. Make me feel like that we're all together here. Here we go. Thank you. In other words, if there's some kind of wound that you have that you're embarrassed of, something wrong with you that you've done to yourself over the years, something that has been done to you by another person, and you say, I can't reflect the glory of God. I got to get myself together spiritually. I got to fix all this stuff. There's something wrong with me. God's answer to that is that's wrong, because whatever is wrong with you, I can transform that into something special for somebody else and you. You have nothing to fear by sitting down with God and listening to him, but yet we run around and be so busy and listen to every other voice other than God if we're not careful. And only God's voice can bring blessing and hope into your life. And only God's voice and presence can allow you to release that blessing and hope into the lives of other people. Verse 16, 17, 18 talks about that. Is we, you know, that veil, it can be torn off. It can be removed. The fullness of God can be reflected off of you, and you will not vaporize. The law has been fulfilled by Jesus. Jesus has set us free. I heard about a sign, a little knick-knack sign at Hobby Lobby. And it was a small wood plaque. And I read about it. I didn't see it. I kind of want to get it now. And it was shaped like a dog bone. Helen, you'd love this. Maybe you wouldn't. But it had a dog bone on it. And on the plaque, it said this: live like someone left the gate open. Live like someone left the gate open. Now, our sin side wants to run with that, you know. Don't go there. But the reality of it is so many of us are not running like the grace gate has been left open. We are still living in the backyard, fenced-in backyard of our own sins, and we do not know the fullness of hope, the fullness of what God has for us, even as an individual, and what He wants to release to us. Now, I'm not so sure. I don't want to put a guilt trip on you. I'm not so sure we'll ever really get comfortable going through the gate completely. I don't know. I still have things that are wrong with me, that are wrong ways of thinking, that keep me from really, you know, to use the biblical example, explore the farthest, outreaches of the kingdom of God. You know, the scripture says that we live in this realm of freedom because of Jesus. We have a wide territory we can be in with God. There's stuff that keeps me from really doing everything that till the day I die, I'm sure. But this little plaque that says, live like somebody left the gate open, reminds us that we're not tethered to the circumstances or the attitude or the conditions or whatever of the culture around us. There's something beyond that that's more stable, that's completely stable, that's hopeful, that's full of God, and we can allow it to come into our lives and we can release it into the lives of other people, and it can be quite simple. It can be as much as just doing what the regular things are on a regular time frame, sitting down with God, letting the sun shine into the midst of all of the inversion and bad environment we live in, and let it change our lives and the lives around us. I am going to read to you Psalms 24 here at the end before John comes up. 24, 7 through 10. In my mind, you know, this is a visual poem that was sung. This was an invitation. And this is kind of what we're hoping to do, is have an invitation of the glory of God that comes in and changes the atmosphere. And this song is an incredible pronouncement of that process. It says this, starting in verse 7. Open up ancient gates. Open up ancient doors. Let the King of Glory enter. Now, this is a request that's being made by people who have been put on the planet to steward the earth. They have the right to say, come, be with us. We need our King. Who is the King of Glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. And he's in this scripture's beginning, I believe it's David, is beginning to define the attributes of who the person is that they're inviting in. And it's nothing like anything else that exists on the planet. This is where we focus. This is where we hang on to. This is where we're beginning to let the glory of God come in. But not just His glory, but everything that comes with His glory. The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, invincible in battle. Open up ancient gates. Open up ancient doors. Let the King of Glory enter. And who is this King of Glory? The Lord, the King, the absolute everything above all things guy of heaven and His armies. That guy. He is the King of Glory. He is the King of Glory. So that sounds like we got to get all dressed up and go to a big formal thing, right? Well, you can. You can have this dynamic, incredible experience of worshiping together. That's one aspect of it. But another aspect of this is this scripture can be done walking around at work. You can live this every day. And chances are, people, without you telling them, aren't going to really notice anything other than you're a really special person. wow, how did that really grumpy person glow just there for a moment? Because we entertain this kind of process. Will you have a setback? Maybe. Probably. I do every day. But the reality of it is you can hang on to this promise that through going to God and pursuing Him, you can be the person who invites God in and entirely changes the climate, the culture, the atmosphere, whatever illustration. You can reflect off of your broken self to other people what they need and give them hope. And that's really how communities change. We put our feet to the ground, do some stuff, but we really start with this spiritual transformation and attitude of being a reflector and inviter of God's presence into things and allowing people to go through the gate and live like somebody forgot to close it, right? That kind of freedom. Amen? Pray. Let's stand up and pray, and then we'll have you sit down, and John's going to come up. Just take a minute, close your eyes, and think of, I'm sure that everybody in the room has got some relationship, some place, some event, maybe even in the past or whatever. You really would like to see the atmosphere changed. Not just for your own comfort, that's a bonus, but for the fact that it's keeping people's eyes closed from seeing who God is. Where's that place in your world that you would really like to take God to clean it up, set people free? Where is that place? Everybody's got one of those. You may not go there yourself, but I want you to pray for that place. You may not change it in your own power if you go there. Someone's being treated unjustly. Someone's dying in their own mistakes. All these people need to find the source of light, which is Jesus. Invite God into those places. Got 10 of them? Just try to remember them all. Say, God, work in all these places, and then write them down and pray for them later. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you that we are not hopeless. We thank you that we have not ever damaged ourselves to the point where we can't be restored by you and connected and brought back into a place that is relational with you and become reflectors of that love and glory into the lives of other people. God, we thank you that there is not the most loved person in this room and the least loved person in this room. We thank you that you will never love us anymore then you love us right now, and you won't love us any less. God, just give us hearts to not only receive your blessing, but to release it into the lives of other people, ways that we're uniquely created or damaged to do it. Lord, we just ask your blessing, especially over these next 21 days, that you'd help us to learn more about you and how you would desire for us to release your presence into this world that needs its atmosphere changed. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. You want a drink?
I'm good. Thanks for offering, though.
You're so generous. So, we're excited about the upcoming 21 days, and like Pastor Joe said,
In everything I'm about to share with you, a lot of this is kind of detail-y, and there's information, and hopefully all of it's in here or whatnot. But I just don't miss the heart of what we're trying to do this month. And this time we really want to focus on, one, changing the atmosphere through prayer. And we do that, you know, with the prayer guide, and then I don't know if you mentioned the fasting, but, you know, fasting is basically taking, or abstaining from something, food item or media, or there's all kinds of different things that you guys can fast from. If you have any questions, a little more practical, you can talk to me about it. Some do food for a whole day. Some do, you know, sugar for the 3 weeks. Some do caffeine. Some do Facebook, you know, whatever it is. But the point of this is to really get in, spend some time talking with Jesus, you know, speaking life into our community, praying about our community, praying about issues, not just here but around the world, and then hearing him. And that's the kind of the fasting part too, is like we're really spending that time to, you know, pay attention to what the Lord is saying to us, because we want to speak life. We really do have the ability to change the atmosphere. So I encourage you guys in the prayer guide. If you didn't get one, we have some more out there, but it starts tomorrow. There's something to pray for every day, and it's kind of neat how we're all praying together on the same thing. So take this home and post it somewhere, stick it in your Bible, stick it in your pocket, whatever it is, and we'll try to post these daily on Facebook also. But, engage with the Lord. And then as you're hearing the Lord and as we're praying and as we're seeing the atmosphere change, the other thing we'd like to do is we have the guest speakers coming in, but a lot of times as the God, you know, as we're praying, like, Lord, change our community. Lord, change my workplace. Change this relationship. Change something around me. You know, we want your presence here. We want you to be part of what's going on here, and we want you to transform. We want the hope of Jesus to come. What's going to happen is it's most likely going to be you that he asks to do that. Now, that kind of can be a little scary, but I just really encourage you, as you're praying for God to change things around you and open your eyes and praying for whatever it is we're praying about, be open to hear him speak to you about what he wants you to do. And that's one of the reasons why we have some people coming in to share. And next week, we have a guy from Forge Mentoring. His name is Todd Kepling. And this is once again, when you hear mentoring, don't go, okay, I'm out. You know, I'm not doing that. This isn't just about mentoring. Todd is here to talk about mentoring, yes, and he's from the organization he's part of is a nationwide organization. They do a great job. They come in and they do all the connections between, they find the students, they they connect the students with mentors, they do pretty good training and background checks and everything of the people who want to mentor, bring them all together. There's ongoing connection between, you know, them, so you're not just left all alone, you know, to do your own thing. You have help, access to resources on how to mentor well. They connect the mentors with the parents, you know, so there's this really great opportunity to speak life into some kids. And one of the reasons why we really like what Todd is doing is because it's an established organization. They have a great track record. And McKinley, well, I think we've mentioned this before, but they are asking us, the principal's asking us, do you have anybody who will come and mentor some kids? So it's not like we're thinking, let's go do this mentoring thing at the school because it's kind of cool. They are asking. And this is a tangible way for us to really change the atmosphere. And never underestimate the power of changing the atmosphere in the life of one person. One person. And so this is the tangible side of it. You know, it's like we pray and we ask God to change the atmosphere, and we do a lot of stuff at McKinley, but this is an opportunity to really connect with them. And what goes beyond just mentoring with what Todd is going to come and share with us about is he does, what he talks about is kind of intergenerational. It's like, how do we minister? How do we connect amongst the generations? So it's not just if you think, well, I don't do mentoring, I don't do children's ministry. If you're a grandparent and you have grandkids, you do intergenerational ministry. If you're a parent and you have kids and your kids have friends, you know, all of that. This is the heart of what we're doing, is trying to figure out how to give us some skills to connect and minister and change the atmosphere in the lives intergenerationally too. And that's what he does. So what we're doing the week after Todd is here, instead of meeting for small groups that week, we're not going to have small groups. And on that Tuesday, which I believe is the 14th, there's going to be a training session here. It's kind of a training seminar thing, but it's not focused just on mentoring, but it is focused on, you know, how do we connect with other generations? How do we speak life, and how do we receive from other generations? So we're encouraging everybody in the church to come and be part of that, because once again, it is a way for us to learn some skills and maybe get refocused, re-envisioned, maybe recentered on what it means to reach beyond our own little sphere, our own little world. And sometimes, for some of us, it is a generational thing. It's like, I don't have any connection with younger people. But we all do in some way, shape, or form, especially if you go to church here. We got a ton of kids, you know? So, and we just love how people here, you know, we got grandparents serving in the nursery, and we got, you know, all kinds of different people serving all over the place here, connecting with other generations, and that's awesome. So it's always great to get some tools and equipping for that. So that's coming up, and then the week after him, we have Mike Johnson coming in from the Union Gospel Mission. And once again, he's going to be coming and talking about volunteering, but more so connecting with our community. What does that mean? What are the opportunities? Once again, this is the hands and feet. This is the tangible way that we can really understand some opportunities out there. You know, we don't have a ton of programs here at Valley Life. And one of the reasons why is so that you have some opportunities to go out and it's like, why reinvent the wheel 8 million times? You know, Mike Johnson does a great job at the Union Gospel Mission. Why don't we just go support what he does? Go there and go and serve. You know, those are the opportunities to really connect and make an impact in our community. So he's going to be coming and talking about that. And then the cleanup hitter, Pastor David Peach, he's right there. But he's going to come in and talk about, you know, connecting and just on a daily basis. You know, how do you share this hope? You know, on a daily basis, how do you do these tangible things of bringing hope of the gospel to the people around you on a daily basis? How do you invite and engage people who need the hope of Jesus Christ, which is everybody on the planet, including us? So how do we do that? How do we change the atmosphere in tangible ways? And I kind of hesitate to say that a little bit because it makes prayer sound like it's not really this tangible thing. Prayer does change things in very tangible ways. So, but I think you kind of understand we got the spiritual atmosphere where we're trying to affect that spiritual atmosphere, but also the physical, practical, you know, the hands and feet. We want to do the whole package, and that's what we want to talk about this month. So that's a whole lot of stuff I just threw at you, but it's just coming just so you know. That's our focus for this month, and once again, it's about changing the atmosphere. We do live in a pretty toxic environment, even at the best of times. Culture's, you know, toxic, and we want to be a group of people that really affects the atmosphere, changes the atmosphere, to try to bring some fresh air, the fresh air and the aroma of Jesus Christ to people so that they can just breathe deeply and kind of, you know, no more sinus issues, you know, whatever it is, you know, that'd be awesome. We can pray for that. So daily prayer guide, fasting, if you guys want to do that, you know, that's just between you and the Lord and what you want to do. If you have any questions about that, though, I'd be happy to talk with you. And then one last thing is the 24 hours of prayer. So in the back on the Welcome Center, we've done this. We do this all the time, too. I see people have already signed up, but there's a sheet there. So what we do is on the last Saturday of the 21 days at 10 o'clock, we start and we go for 24 hours until that Sunday morning at 10. So if you'd like to sign up for a half an hour prayer slot, you can just pick a time, wherever's in there, and you don't come down to the church and pray except for Sunday morning. We will have prayer from 9 o'clock till 10 here, but you just, wherever you're at, wherever it is, whatever time it is, whether you're at work or at home or, you know, if you sign up for 2 in the morning, then, you know, obviously maybe you're in bed, but wherever it is, you guys just, you pray for that half hour, and so between all of us, we have a 24 hours where we're just covering you know, our valley and our community and whatever God leads you to pray through, we're covering things in prayer. So it's, once again, a great time, and don't ever underestimate your ability to change the atmosphere. I guess that's kind of really the message we want you guys to see. You guys have the ability, with the power of the Holy Spirit and the hope of Jesus Christ in you, to change lives. Not just yours, not just a small sphere around you, but, you know, impact our community and to the ends of the earth, whatever God's called you. Everyone's got a different level. Everyone's got different areas of influence. Everyone's got, you know, different ways that they connect, but we can all do it. Amen? Amen. So I'm just going to pray for you. I just want to anoint you and send you out, you know, kind of this official, let's do this thing. It's like a call to prayer, a call to spend this time focusing on the Lord, and then we'll go out and whatever it is you want to do this afternoon. Party.
All right, let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for who you are. I thank you for your sacrifice. I thank you for everything that you have done for us. You truly are amazing. I thank you for the wonderful hope that we have. We have hope of life eternal, but we have hope here and now. We have hope of knowing you. We have hope of knowing and understanding love in its purest form. We have hope of understanding grace and mercy in our lives. God, we have hope to live a life of significance because of what you have done. It does matter. This life matters. Every person in this room matters. Every person on this planet matters. And God, you have given us the ability, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to change the atmosphere and change lives around us. And I pray over these next 21 days that you would draw us into that place where we are looking around us and seeing what you are doing. We are looking around us and seeing how you are moving. We are looking around us and agreeing with and moving with that wind of your Holy Spirit that brings that refreshing presence, that brings fresh air to people's lives. Allow us during this month to create atmosphere around people and in our community and our neighborhoods and wherever it is we go, that people can breathe deeply and have a sense of grace and love in their lives. God, you are so good. You are so, so good. Your hope is beyond comprehension. Let us be messengers of that hope this next 21 days and then beyond as it becomes part of our life and just something that we do all the time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 God bless you guys. Have a great week.